begin discussing a topic we had brought up a couple weeks ago. Someone had asked me, we were discussing Kiddush Levana, whether women, we were talking about Rav Amadras Melech and having a larger crowd of people saying Kiddush Levana and davening together and other mitzvahs. And someone had raised the question of whether women are allowed to be included in Berov Am Hadras Melech with regards to Kiddush Levana. That was the question. And so I mentioned that the practice is that women do not say Kiddush Levana. So I want to go through that sugya, particular about Kiddush Levana, but I want to speak more generally as well about women's roles in mitzvahs. And there are some instances where women are allowed to perform mitzvahs and they should not. They're discouraged based on various reasons. Al pi Kabbalah, al pi Minhagim. So I want to go through this big topic, certainly in the generations we live in right now, where everyone's trying to make everybody equal, men and women are equal in everything, whatever a man could do, a woman could do. And obviously there are many differences, aside from being physically built very differently. I always, people who have conversations with me about this, I say, take a look at the golf course. There's a tee off for the men, there's a tee off for the women. They're just different strengths in sports. Would anyone ever put a male boxer up against a woman boxer? Certainly not. So they can be equal. They're different roles, different strengths. No matter how you slice this, they're always, women have certain strengths that men don't have, and men have certain strengths that women don't have. It's not chauvinist. We have different roles. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He created people. And it's not against women. It's not against men. This is how Hashem created the world. They're Kohanim. They're Levim. They're Israelim. I can't go into the base of Mikdash and he can. I could sing and he can't. And I'm allowed. I can't sing and he can. But I'm saying, in the base of Mikdash, no offense to you, Ezra, not to me either. I can't. But I'm supposed to be singing in the base of Mikdash, perhaps, and he's not supposed to be. He's a Kohen, I'm a Levi. So everyone has different roles, and there's certain things that women can have babies and men can have babies. It's just, they're different creatures in this world. So in light of that, I want to discuss some things that have come up in the Orthodox community. It's not new, but women's tefillah groups and minyanim and Megillah reading, yoetzet halacha, rabbis. These are things coming out from various groups. And let's go through the sugya, beginning with the famous Mishnah in Maseches Kedushin. This is not in front of you, but I'm sure you've all learned this Mishnah. If not, we'll learn it together now. The Mishnah tells us that the different mitzvahs that men have versus what women have. And the Mishnah says that women are chayiv in all mitzvahs, shelo zmagrama, that women are chayiv in mitzvahs that are not time-bound. And we know that mitzvahs ase shazman grama, that mitzvahs that are time-bound, that are restricted to do during a certain time, so then women are exempt from performing. So that's a basic chilek between what women's obligations are versus men. Mitzvah ase shazman grama, women are pater, like we all know. When it comes to mitzvahs lo sase, the Gemara tells us that women are chayiv in all lo sases, just as men are, except for three. The Mishnah says there are three lo sases women are exempt from. What are they? The three are, as the Mishnah lists us, bal takif, bal tashchis, bal titma lamesim. Bal takif means they're allowed to cut payas if they wanted to. There is no violation for women. They're allowed to shave a beard if they want to. There's no violation. And if they are a kohenes, they are allowed to go metame mes. There's no iser tumas mes for a woman Cohen. Outside of those three, women are chayiv in all lo sases in the Torah. So there is an interesting Gemara which has caused a lot of trouble for the Orthodox community. It's based on the Sugin Chagiga Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. There's a machlok is about smicha. What's smicha? Not the smicha of making a rabbi into a rabbi, being a musmach. It's something called smicha when it comes to an animal, a carbon. When you have a carbon, there's a requirement to lean, to be somich, kol kocho. All your strength on that animal, the baal has to do this, and that's called smicha. So this is the first machlokas that ever existed in all of history. And the Gemara tells us, look inside number one here. Daber b'nei Yisrael v'samach. And you should speak of b'nei Yisrael, they should perform smicha on an animal. And the Gemara is medayik, b'nei Yisrael somchin, v'ein b'nos Yisrael somchos. That the men do it, the b'nei Yisrael, but b'nos Yisrael don't do smicha. They're not allowed to do smicha. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Shimon, according to some, say, b'nei Yisrael somchis rishus, they're allowed to. So while the second opinion says women may, the first opinion says they're not allowed to, it's usher. So Amar Rabbi Yossi said, Sachli Abba Elazar. One time Abba Elazar told me, Pam Achas. Now I'm going to emphasize Pam Achas. One time. A one-time event this happened. He didn't even see this himself. He heard about it. Hayalanu Egel Shaziv Chay Shlamim. There was a certain carbon Shlamim. Vevinu Le'ezes Nashim. They brought into the Ezes Nashim, whereby some Chu'al of Nashim, to allow the women to do smicha on this. Lo mipnei she smicha b'nashim, not because women are supposed to do smicha, el kadei lasas nachas ruach l'nashim, make them feel better about themselves. Nachas ruach. So nachas ruach, that's a very slippery slope. You know, I want to lay in the Torah. I'm very insulted if I can't lay in the minyan. Oh, nachas ruach, you can lay. I want to daven for the amud. I get insulted if you don't let me daven for the amud. Oh, nachas ruach to the nashim, you could. So this is not a matter of halacha we could apply all over. This is a sachli. I was told that pamachas, one crazy case has happened, and that's about it. Rav Shechta talks about this in the Sefer Bikvei Tzon, talking about the different women tefillah minyanim and kriyasa megillah and things like that. Nachas ruach, this was like a one-time event. It wasn't even the performance of a mitzvah. It was a zeichel mitzvah ba'alma. You know, somehow the practice of putting the Sefer Torah into the women's section for them to kiss it. So, apil lacha, this might be allowed. It may be allowed for a woman to touch the Sefer Torah and kiss the Sefer Torah. But the most important thing is, there's something called the minhag and mesorah. The moment you start breaching the mesorah, you start breaching the minhagim, even though apil lacha, you could prove something. There's a certain mesorah that we have. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that tells us, to be a dayan, to be a judge in Sanhedrin, you have to be able to prove that a sheret is tahor. And the problem is, the reason why it's so hard, because the Torah tells you that a sheretz is tameh. So you have to be able to flip around the Torah in such a way to say that a sheretz is tameh. So why is that the entrance exam to be a dayan? Because the point is, I think, because even though you could prove something a pi halacha, based on kal v'chomer, gzer shavas, you have to see if you keep the mesorah. The mesorah that we have is a sheretz is tameh. The mesorah that we have is that women don't have the sefer Torah passed to the ezes nashim. Yeah, I could prove it halpi halacha, that's okay. But we have a tradition we try to keep into those walls, into those mechitas, to keep everything separate. To take a look now at number two. This is the particular question of Kiddush Levana. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, Amr Le Rav Acha Le Rav Ashi, B'Ma'arava, in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, Mivarche Baruch Mechadish Chadashim. It's referring to Kiddush Levana. This was our discussion last 2 weeks ago. What bracha do you say for Kiddush Levana? You say a very small bracha, Baruch, Ata Hashem Elokeinu, Melech Haolam, Mechadesh Chadashim. That's according to the Western understanding. Amar Lei, he says back, Rav Ashi responds back, Hai Nashi Didan Nami Bevarche. Women could also say such a bracha. Meaning, apparently, it's unclear what this means, but the understanding seems that women did not say Kiddush Levana because they didn't, you know, they didn't have these little Kiddush Levana cards that we have. They didn't have light outside to read. They had to say Baal Peh. You know, the moon was very short. 3 days into the month, a very small moon. There's no light outside. So they had little candles and stuff. It was hard. It was right after, you know, Shul Matzah Shabbos. Did they have enough oil left to light? They went outside to say Baal Peh. So women didn't say it because they didn't know Baal Peh. It was too long of a bracha. So if the bracha was simply Baruch Mechadesh Chadash, and that's very short, women would be able to remember what to say. So it must be, the Gemara thinks, the bracha must be much longer than that. It was too long for women to memorize. So Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yehuda, goes on to say, it's a long bracha, the one that we say, Asher b'mamara bar shchakim, b'rach piv kol tzvam, and so on and so forth. So it sounds like from the Gemara, the only reason why women wouldn't say the bracha is because it was too long for them to memorize. That's the simple understanding. And the Meiri actually says women are allowed to say, if they wanted to, they could say the short bracha, Baruch Mechadesh Chadashim. If they want, they could say that bracha, that very small sentence of a bracha.
Rabbi, it was only practical, maybe then, that the boys were in school more, learning more, and the girls didn't know.
So nowadays women are allowed to say the bracha because you have the cards, you have the light, they're able to say, right? They can memorize also if they want. Right. So they're able to say, they have the cards, they have the light, they're able to say things now. So now, does that mean should we change what went on? Maybe apil lacha, it makes sense. We should let them say Kiddush Levana. Maybe we should. But the point is, again, po chazi mai amadavar, what people doing? Have you ever seen a woman say Kiddush Levana before? I've never seen it before. The practice is they don't. Maybe because historically they didn't do it because they didn't know how to memorize things. It was too long. Whatever the reason is, the practice is that they don't say Kiddush Levana. Now take a look at what the Magen Avraham explains why women don't say Kiddush Levana. Now there's a reason behind this. See, I don't even think you need a reason. I think it's just simply the minhag is sufficient. But the Magen Avraham writes to number three here. This is Simen Tov Chaf Vav. This is the Hilchos Kiddush Levana. Mitzvahs Aseh She'az Man Gramahim. So before we get to that, he says Kiddush Levana is a Mitzvahs Aseh She'az Man Gram. It's time-bound. And we know whenever it comes to time-bound mitzvahs, let's use the example of shaking lulav. So that's a Mitzvahs Aseh She'az Man Gram. It's only Shaykh on Sukkos. Now women are potter from that. If women want, they're allowed to perform the mitzvah. Now in my house, my wife, my daughters, they say the bracha. In Eitan's house, the women don't say the bracha. Svardim don't say the bracha. Machlok is whether allowed to say a bracha or not say a bracha, but everybody agrees they're allowed to fulfill the mitzvah. So something's different about Kiddush Levana. Why can't they perform this mitzvah? So before we go ahead, I want to share with you a beautiful Rav Shlomo Kluger. Chachma Shlomo on the Shulchan Aruch says he doesn't think that Kiddush Levana is actually a mitzvah asay she'az man grama. Why not? What's the definition of zman grama? It's only when time kicks in and then you're chayef. For example, sukkahs. I could build a sukkah whenever I want. I could build the sukkah today. You dal shvat. Nothing's stopping me except for the fact that it's not Tishrei. When it comes to something that's not dependent on zman, the moon is not a zman issue. The moon is either there or it's not there. You could either see it or not see it. He doesn't think it's about zman. Happens to be day three or so is when the moon begins to get newer and visible. But it's not about the date. It's about being able to see it. He gives an example of saying shechianu, a new fruit. So new fruit comes a certain season. I don't know. Let's say it's the season of strawberries. Probably not. But let's say now it's the season of strawberries. So there's actually a halacha that you're supposed to say a shechianu when new fruit come into season. People think incorrectly that you say a shechianu if you haven't had a fruit in 30 days. I know somebody who says a shechianu on an apple on Rosh Hashanah because he doesn't eat apples all year long. That is incorrect. Apples are available all year round. You only say a shechianu when it's new in season. So let's say there's no strawberries at all the entire year, and now comes January, strawberries are in season, you say a shechianu when you see or when you eat that strawberry. But that's not about zman. It's not about being yudal shvat. That's because now the metzias is strawberries are available. It's a chefta that happened to be available during this time. The zman doesn't cause it. So Rosh Shlomo Kluger says, same thing by Kiddush Levan. It's not the zman of the third day of the month. It's when the moon is visible, that's when you say it. So therefore, it's not a mitzvah asay shezman gram, he says. Exactly. Says Machlok, there's a, Eitan's pointing out, there is a Ramban on Maseches Kedushin, on this Mishnah actually. And he lists a whole bunch of examples of what's mitzvah asay shezman gram. So he has Rashi Tevos. I forget exactly what they were, Samech Hay or something, or Samech Ayin. So no one knows what he meant by that. So some explain he's referring to Sfiras Omer. That Sfiras HaOmer is an example of Mitzvahs Aseh She'az Man Gram. Because when we start saying it, we say it the second day of Pesach. So then that's based on Zman. And others say, no, it's not a Zman Gram. It's the Karban Omer that we bring is what's Mechayiv, the counting of Zman. Not a Zman, it's a Maisa, it's a Mitzvah. It's the existence, the presence of the Karban Omer. Not a Zman, happens to be, we bring the Karban Omer on a certain day. But it's not the day that caused the Mitzvahs of Sfiras Omer, it's actually the Zman. I don't remember how others interpret what the Ramban means by the Rashi Tevos, but that's the same Chakira. Is it the Zman that causes the mitzvah, or is it the Maisa mitzvah or a certain Mitzias that comes into this world? So Rosh Shlomo Kluger thinks it's not a mitzvah asay, that Kiddush Levana is not a mitzvah asay, she has man grama. So why don't women say it then? So look at the Magen Avraham. He writes number three, that Afagav dehei mekayimim kol mitzvah asay. Even though we allow women to perform all mitzvahs asay, kigon sukkah, mikol mako, mitzvah zu, ein mekayim mipnei shem garmu pegam halavana. The women were the cause of the moon going up and down, waxing and waning. That was the women's fault. Now how? He quotes the shla, doesn't really elaborate on the shla. So I'll read you the language of the shla. Even in the shla, it's not so clear, but what the shla writes is as follows. He says, "Asher nir be'enai shemitam ze misrachakim anashim mitzvah zu." Why are women? Why do they distance themselves from Kiddush Levana? Afa pishemekayim harbe mitzvahs asay she'azman grama. Many mitzvahs asay that are time bound, they do fulfill, such as shofar and lulav. V'lo ra'inu me'olam nashim mekayimos Kiddush Levana. I've never ever seen or heard anyone saying Kiddush Levana. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if sooner or later there's going to be some kila that's going to start inviting women to say Kiddush Levana. Who knows? Probably going to happen soon. The time is the Shla. He's never witnessed this in his life. I've never witnessed this. Av Shehen is Harus Bechol Tfilos. They daven all the Tfilos. They have to say, they daven Shachris and Mincha and Marv. They say all types of Tfilos. How come they don't say Kiddush Levana? So explains the Shla, Mipnei Shpekam HaLevana, Garma HaIsh HaRishona. Somehow the pagama of the Levana, we know there's a connection of the moon to the women. The man's the sun, the women are the reflecting to the moon. That connection, that relationship. So somehow when the moon and the sun had that fight, it somehow weakened Chava, and that caused the chet of Chava. U'misrachim ibn Abusha. So whenever the women see the moon, they get embarrassed by the chet of Chava. That connection.
I heard this shlod, like a different interpretation that when the moon is the one that said to Hashem, we can't have two kings. It has to be one or the other. So Hashem had two options at that point. Could have made the moon smaller or made the sun bigger. So what happened was, because of the sin of Adam Eden thing, the sun being bigger, he wouldn't be able to tolerate the sun. It would be too strong for Adam. So therefore, he had to make the moon smaller. And who's the reason for the cause of the chet is the woman.
Ah,
so that's
very good.
Based on this
so there's a connection of the chait of all women to the pagam of the moon, and there's a certain busha that they have, and therefore they've distanced themselves from reciting Kiddush Levana. Now he does point out, afal pi shematu lem tikun achakach, the women did fix themselves when the chait ha'egel, right? The sixth parsha, we don't have chait ha'egel, but the coming weeks, Yisro is this week, Kabbalah Satorah. When the Nachash HaKadmon came back during the times of the Kabbal Satorah, in the form of the Egal Zav and the Eir of Rav, all of that, they didn't listen. Really, the Shvatim, each Rosh Chodesh is connected to one of the Shvatim. 12 months, 12 Shvatim. But Cheda Egal, it was taken away from them, and it was handed to the women. That's why there's a minik for women not to work in Rosh Chodesh. Such a practice has brought down the shame of the Ramah. So they were able to be misaki in the Levana to a certain extent, and they were more, you know, Mishamros, also Yosem Mir Nashim. Still, nonetheless, they have a certain busha when it comes to the Levana. And that's why, says Ashla, on a deeper level, why women don't say Kiddush Levana. But in a very halachic perspective, even though, as David pointed out, they can find Sidurim, there's electricity, they can read like we read, none of us know the bracha by heart. Maybe we do. I don't know bracha by heart. So we have to use the cards. Women could do the same thing. But the point is, al pi halacha, the minhag is that they don't say it. And why start changing the minhag around? Let's go further now to a few other examples where there are certain mitzvahs that women may be able to halachically fulfill, but we discourage. So look at number four. Number four, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, yeah.
Then shouldn't that be a rye that women shouldn't shake lulav and esrog because the asterisk is also related to the
chet of Chava? It's a very good question. It's a good question. No, it's a machlokas, but it's a very good question. It is. I'm not sure. The minhag is for them to shake the lulav, but yeah. No, as you're saying, it's a machlokas. What exactly was the etzadas? So one opinion was an esrog, one opinion was a chita, te'ena, yayin. All those are true. It's a good question. Very good question. Okay, so let's take a look at number four. The Shulchan Aruch is talking about a machlokas when it comes to Havdalah. Do women have to say Havdalah or not? So, Nashim Chayavos B'Havdalah Kishem Shem Chayavos B'Kiddush. The first opinion is that women have to hear Havdalah, say Havdalah, just like they have to hear Kiddush. V'yesh Mishacholik, there are those who argue. So what's a machlokas here, whether women are Chayiv in Havdalah or not? So the simple understanding is, we know women, why women Chayiv in, let's talk about Kiddush first. Why women Chayiv in Kiddush? Isn't that a mitzvah asay? She has mom grandma. It's time bound. It's dependent on Shabbos.
Close.
So Gemara says that kol sheyeshen b'shmira yeshem b'shmira yeshem b'zechira. Shamar v'zachar b'divur echad. Hashem said both words at the same time. Again, this week's parsha. So then, since the chayvin shmira, which are the los aseis, memela the chayvin the zechira, the mitzvah ase. That's kiddush. So shouldn't Havdalah be in that same grouping? So the Rambam would think yes. The Rambam says there's an equation between kiddush and Havdalah. But others think Havdalah is a standalone mitzvah. Havdalah is not part of the regular mitzvah asay of Shabbos. It's separate, in which case women may be pater from that particular mitzvah. So there's a machlokas whether women are chayv in Havdalah or not. So look what the Rama writes. Rama writes, V'im hanashim rotzim lahach mer latzman mochen biyadam. If they want to be machmer themselves, we're mochen biyadam. We don't like. Oh, sorry, I skipped the line. Wrong one. I'm sorry. Hagar writes, al karchach lo yavdilu l'atzman. Women should not make havdala on their own. Rak yishmu havdala min ha'anashim. They should only hear havdala from a man. So men should make sure that their wives and daughters are always home for havdala. If I'm picking my daughter up afterwards from someone's house on Shabbos, I always make sure that she heard Avdallah. If I'm picking her up, just last night, I picked my daughter up. I had said Avdallah, right, half an hour after, and she hadn't heard Avdallah yet, so I said, wait till you hear Avdallah from where they were staying, because we discourage women from saying Avdallah. So what's the reason? So one reason is, but mitzvah aseh shezman grama. But didn't we say that women do mitzvah aseh Shezman Gramas all the time? They shake lulav all the time. They sin the sukkah all the time. So what's wrong with them saying Havdalah? So Magen Avraham has two suggestions. One suggestion he says is that maybe they only do mitzvah aseh Shezman Gramas that have a maisa mitzvah to it. Lulav, sitting a sukkah. But when the mitzvah is only dibur, it's only speech, maybe that's not part of the chumrah that he took upon himself. He didn't explain really why. It's a true chilek that lulav and sukkah have a maisa, and havdalah does not have a maisa. That chiluk is correct, but he doesn't explain why they wouldn't be able to do it.
I mean, if all reason is because they should be busy with their taking care of their husbands, is that the reason that they're pater to begin with?
That's Abu Jaham. A real svardi here.
Yeah, if you see that pshat, I'm saying then it makes sense. A diva is a diva. It doesn't require a lot of toil, a lot of effort.
But then they should be able to do it then. They should be able to. This is we're saying dibur. They don't do the mitzvah by dibur.
Oh, the chiluk is opposite. You're saying by dibur they don't.
Yeah.
But Rabbi, I'm confused. I thought that you say hamavdil ben kosher kol. That's the dibur. But then I thought the wine, the candle, and the spices is a maisa.
In terms of the bracha, so look what the Magen Rav writes further. If you take a look at number 5 here. Magen writes, "Nogu hanashim shelo lishos mikos havdala." So Magen writes that the practice is that women do not drink from a kos havdala. That's a practice, and again, it quotes the Shlah. So why is that the case? It's a mitzvah aseh shezman grama. What's wrong with it? And he doesn't tell us. He says, "Take a look at the Shlah." So what does the Shlah tell us? Why do women not do such a mitzvah? So you don't have the Shlah in front of you, but the Piskei Truvos actually brings down the Shlah and also a different Hesber as to why women have the practice of not drinking from the Kiddush wine. So one shot is, the Shlom himself explains, similar to what he had said by Kiddush Levana, Eitz Shechatebo Adam Arishon. We discussed before, there are 4 options what was Eitz Hadas. It was either Te'ena, it was Yayin, it was Chita, it was an Eser. So one opinion that was Geffen, it was Yayin. It was grape juice, wine. And the Medrash says that she squeezed the grapes and made grape juice, she made wine, and her intention was to separate Adam through wine. She wanted to make Adam different through drinking wine of some sort. And because she was the cause of trying to separate Adam from everyone else in such a way, so she doesn't drink wine on Havdalah. Something along those lines. That's what the Shlah says. That's how it's quoted here. What that really means, I'm not entirely sure, but certainly Havdalah has a lot to do with the chait of Adam Arishon. That's why we look at the nails, all the connections, the nails that was removed after the chait of Adam and Chava. So since it has to do with the wine that she caused Adam to drink, therefore she doesn't drink the wine Havdalah. That's the deeper understanding according to the Shlah. The Big Day Yesha says differently. He says that the Lama Tes Melachos that we do on Shabbos correspond to the Lama Tes Klalos that happened to Chava based on the Nachash. There's a connection of 39 Klalos to 39 Melachos. And then comes Havdalah. So Havdalah is now Matir, all Melacha. It's Matir, all the Klalos. So we don't want a reminder of the causing of the sin that took place there. And that's why she doesn't drink from the wine. All right, so these are 2 different Hesbers brought down in the Piskei Truvos. He says there's a Nafka Mina. If you're drinking on beer, we discussed this week in the Morning Chabura, can you make Havdalah on Chamer Medina? Can you make Havdalah on beer? So that way, there's all discussion, if there's a wine in the city, you can make it on beer. So he says, if the Hesber is that because she drank wine, Dafka, so then beer wouldn't be a problem. She would be able to drink beer. But if the reason is because the 39 Malachas are now Mutter, so then even Chamer Medina, even beer, she shouldn't drink. Either way, whatever the reason is, we have the practice brought down by the Magen Avraham that women do not drink from the kos shel havdalah. And whether or not we understand the reason or we don't understand the reason, that's the minhag. That's our practice. That's our mesorah. Now, halacha l'maisa, if a woman were to be in a situation where she can't find a man to make Avdallah, so then she should say. Better for, more important that she hears Avdallah than to not hear it at all. But if she could hear from a man, she should try really hard and not drink from the cup at all.
She's saying the bracha, not the child drink it. Yeah. Is that an eitzah? Because at least then you're marviach, the shla.
It's a good question. It happens to be, the Piskei Chuas goes on to explain here, forget the woman case just for a moment. He said, let's say I'm making Kiyah Havdalah. He brings down that a person should not share the Havdalah wine with anybody else. He should drink it alone. And he quotes from the Kute Torah of Chernobyl that somehow it causes sinna by sharing the Havdalah wine. He goes, other opinions, when you pour the wine, it has to do with Adas Korach, a whole fancy deep understanding here. So it's thought not, you should never share the Havdalah wine based on the Kabbalah. So in this situation now, if the woman were to make Havdalah, and is it better for her to have someone else drink it, L'chora, I would think only if... I'm not sure.
If a man hears Havdalah and shul, he shouldn't be yotze if he has to go home and make it for his wife?
If a man is yotze ready, no.
He shouldn't be yotze if he hears it.
He shouldn't, if he wants, no, he should, exactly, he wants to go home to his wife, he should not be yotze from someone else. He should have kavanah not to be yotze, this way he can be motzi his wife when he gets home.
Is it better for a woman to say at Davin Meirv and say atachan and tanu and be yotze with Havdalah that way?
No. And she can, but it's not going to help with Havdalah in terms of malacha and things like that, but it won't help with her eating. She won't be able to eat. Yeah.
So that's why it's confusing when the rabbi said a little bit before that Havdalah is not considered a Maisa. There's the Havdalah that's the Dibor, but you said the Havdalah that's the Maisa of the wine that it is necessary. So how do you say that Havdalah is not a Maisa?
No, the Havdalah is the bracha of the Havdalah, you say, at the end, the Mavdil, last bracha. The fire and the besamim are separate things. Those are things you should say anyways, but that's not the definition of Havdalah.
Necessary in order for you to eat.
No, not the besamim, not the ish. In terms of the drinking, the drinking is not the maisa. It's not crucial in that. That's not the maisa itself. It's a secondary point. And just like under the chuppah, you get married or shevet brachos, the ikr is the bracha itself, not the drinking. The drinking is considered secondary. Someone has to drink it, but that's not the definition. That's not part of the essence of the mitzvah. The mitzvah itself is being mavdil on b'dibur.
That she has to say because she can't do anything.
Right. So let's take a look now at number six. And this is a very sensitive issue. This came up in the news maybe 5-6 years ago or so in a somewhat of a local school here. So not in the five towns though. So Shulchan Aruch writes in the Hilchos Tefillin Simen Lamed Ches, Noshim va'avadim p'turim mitfillin. Women of Adam are potter from wearing tefillin. Mipnei shehu mitzas asei shehaz man grama. This is time bound. We only wear it during the daytime and nighttime as well, but we don't wear it on Shabbos. People think it's because we don't wear them in the nighttime. You really can wear tefillin balayla, but there's a chashash you might fall asleep. But Shabbos, you're not allowed to wear tefillin. It's an issa to wear tefillin on Shabbos. That's why it's man grama. So Rama adds, v'im ha'noshim rotim la'achmir l'atzman, if they want to be machmir, they're so machmir in halacha, they're so machmir in fulfilling all mitzvahs, we're mochim b'yadim. So usually the ones who want to wear tefillin are not really machmir in any halacha, other than wearing tefillin. Only what they can't do are they machmir on. So if they're machmir in everything else, all the other halachas, then I can understand where they're coming from, like the daughters of Rashi. But usually the women who are wearing tefillin are the ones who have a certain agenda, that I'm just as equal. You're just as equal, so I want to see you going to a boxing ring with a man, all right? Fight a man in a box, let's see how equal you really are. So obviously there are differences. So the Ramah is very stark in saying that no, you should be mocha. Why? What's wrong with women wearing tefillin? What's wrong? Why is it any different than women shaking sukkah, shaking lulav, sitting in the sukkah? So the Ramah, right? Rather, the Mishabur explains, based on the Rishonim, Mipnei shetzrichen guf naki. You need a clean body, right? You can't do certain things when wearing tefillin. Women don't know how to be careful. Now, I would, without show of hands, I would imagine everyone's wife here or whoever they know are much cleaner than men are. Let's be honest. They really are. So, for the most part, maybe not. Maybe they're exceptions. There are always exceptions. There are always men who are strong. They know women who, I'm sure, women could beat me up. So, there are always exceptions. So, but for the most part, men are not as clean as women. So what does Mishabur mean here, that only men are clean and women are not clean? So I don't know what took place back then. Certainly now times have changed. So does this mean we should allow women to wear tefillin? They're much more naki than men are. Of course not. Because we have a mesorah, we have a tradition, we have a minhag that women do not wear tefillin. There's one thing that's halacha. But to have the halacha and prove something, to change it, to make a sheretz that's tameh and make it tahor now, yeah, you could prove it. You could prove a lot of things. But we have a certain mesorah, a certain minhag that we have to continue to follow in. And as we know, those who wear tefillin, those women who wear tefillin, it leads to a very slippery slope. It turns into women rabbis and many, many worse things than that. Let's do two more sources here, and then I'll share a final story, a story which I've shared before in the shul, but to show that a story that really brings this point home. The number 7, the Shulchan Aruch talks about, we're not too far from Purim, we're 2 months away now. Mm-hmm. So, this halacha chat, I think, is really getting excited now. You're getting a ton of, sorry. So the number 7, the Shulchan Aruch says, Kol chayavim bekriyasa. Everyone's chayav in the kriyas Megillah. Anashim v'nashim v'gerim v'avadim u'shecharim u'mechanchen es haktanim l'krosa. We know all types of yidden are chayav to read the Megillah. Women are chayav because af heinayu ba'oso hanes. They were very instrumental in the mitzvah, the nes of Purim. They were part of the. They were saved just as well as men were saved, and therefore women are chayav in kriyas Megillah. Then the Shulchan Aruch writes in Sif Beis. Whether you're reading, whether you're listening to it, the lachitz yatza yidei chavasa. So only one person reads, 500 people listen, we're all equally fulfilling our mitzvah. But you have to hear from a person who's chayef. The person who's pater, let's say, just to be extreme, let's say a nachri were to get up there, goy were to get up there and lay in the Megillah, I obviously wouldn't be yotza. He might be a beautiful Baal Karei. He knows, I'm sure Israel could probably do a wonderful job. He knows a lot of words anyways. So let's imagine Israel gets up there and he, Israel, those who don't know, he's our the custodian here. So he gets up there and he lays Megillah. He could do a beautiful job, but we're not going to get a mitzvah. You have to be a Bar Chiyuva. And the Fichach, therefore, im haya kori chere, shokata, no shota, hashemem mimenu yatza. I would be yotzi the chiyuv from hearing them speak, hearing them read the Megillah. The yesh omrim shanashim einam motzios es hanashim. There are only a yesh omrim that say women may not be motzi the men Megillah, which implies that the first opinion would say women can be motzi men in kriyas Megillah. So let's say you have a very intelligent woman who knows how to lay Megillah. And she asks Tilain, and she says, our practice is not to let you. And then she says, but nachas ruach, the Gemara Chagiga, right? I'm insulted, nachas ruach, I'm going to be insulted, please let me lay. So maybe we should talk to let her lay. So the Shulchan Aruch says, yesh omrim, and we don't let them be motzi men. So the Mishnah Berurah says that the reason why not is because kvara tzibur. When it comes to kvara tzibur, it's just not a kvara tzibur. What's kvara tzibur? What's wrong? Women don't get up to speak in front of men. Is that what the problem is? Women speak in front of men all the time. Is it an issue of kavod tzibur? So what ends up happening, Mishnah Berurah says, it's a low plug. He says, even afilu liyachid. Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. He says, lo dami liner chanukah. By ner chanukah, we allow a woman to be motzi a man. A wife's able to be motzi the man like candles. How come not by Megillah? The shiny Megillah, the havi kimo kriyas haTorah, upsula, Mipnei kavod atzibur. It's just not respectable for a woman to get up there. Now, why not? That's a whole other discussion. We don't allow women to lane, and that's kavod atzibur. And therefore, afilu liyachid eino motzia mishim loplug. We don't even allow one woman to be motzi one man. That's not kavod atzibur. But he does allow. I don't want to say this, but he does allow a woman to be motzi another woman. Not a minin, but let's say they're somewhere. It happens to be there's a very capable woman who knows how to lane, and she has a daughter who didn't hear laning, so in that privacy of their own home, she could be motzi her daughter. That's what it seems like from this. I'm not sure if this happens at all, but certainly not in the tzibur, certainly not berabim, because it's not covered at tzibur. But to me, the underlying answer is, which really carries through everything, we have to always look, what is the minhag? What's been the minhag for many generations? Po chazi mai amadavar. Go out to see what we're doing. If women haven't been laning Megillah, we shouldn't change things now. Even though halachically might be okay. Even though nowadays women are more in the public eye and women do speak in front of men, so maybe they should be able to lane. still, nonetheless, we have a certain Masorah, a certain tradition, certain Minhagim that we have to continue. And that's the answer, I think, for all these different suggestions. The same thing when it comes to Yuetzet Halacha, which is a very sensitive topic as well. Yuetzet Halacha, where women are passing certain shilas in Hilchos Nida, they're not rabbis, but they're very helpful, they know a lot, they certainly do. But at the same time, we haven't had this. Why suddenly now in this generation, we have to have a need? What happened to the rabbis? Rabbis can't pasken anymore? Or the women can't talk to rabbis anymore? They're not allowed to discuss with them anymore? They can't talk to the rebbes to speak to the rabbi? What's changed? Everything has to be equal. Oh, but when it's convenient for us, it's not equal to us. Right? Everything's equal, so women should be able to speak to men, right? If everything's equal. But suddenly now, we want to have speak to women. We're not comfortable speaking about these topics. So I can understand that sensitivity to speak to the rebbes and have to her speak to the rabbi. So for all these reasons, we have a certain minhag, a certain tradition that we have to keep. Even though halacha may say differently, we still have to continue with that minhag. So once a ma'aseh with the Rabbi Akiva Eiger, a number of people found the Sefer Torah. And the Sefer Torah, they weren't sure who wrote the Sefer Torah. And it was a time when certain apikorsim were writing Sefer Torah. They were capable. You could find people who are not religious writing a Sefer Torah. And the halacha is, based on the Gemara in Gittin, if a min, an apikoros, wrote a Sefer Torah, you have to burn it. You have to burn a Sefer Torah. You can't use it. And if, of course, a Framid wrote it, then you could use it, and it would be also to burn. So now they found the Sefer Torah. Big Shaila. What do you do? Do you burn it? Or could you use it? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger said an amazing idea. He said as follows. Take a look at the last few letters, few words, few psukim, and go see if there's the same exact script as the other parts of the Sefer Torah. Because we have a minhag, not a halacha, we have a tradition that when you finish a Sefer Torah, happens to be this morning, Reb Weinberger's father is being honored with a Sefer Torah in Far Rockaway. So we have a minhag that we invite all the Rabbanim to come for the completion of the Sefer Torah, for them each to write a letter. Not like we do nowadays, the sofer does it and they just, you like, hold their elbow or hold the back of the pen. One time they asked me if I wanted to fill it in on my own. I was too scared. I'll just hold on to your elbow. But they don't let us do the whole, we don't know what we're doing. We're not trained sofer. But back then, in the times of Rabbi Eger, the Rabbanim even knew how to do safras. So they invite all the Rabbanim together and they would write their own last few letters. Which means that my Aleph would be different than his Aleph and his Beis. And you could tell the difference. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, look at the last few letters, the last few words. If they're exactly the same to the rest of the Torah, that means it's an apikoros. Because he didn't follow the minhag of inviting all the local Rabbanim. And that's how we see the power of minhagim. Even though there's no halacha to invite the Rabbanim, that's the power of a minhag. So this is the answer to all the other shilas, that we have a certain tradition, a certain minhag that we have to keep to. Okay, next week I'm not around. I imagine most of you are not either. The Mitzvah Hashem will pick up in 2 weeks.